Oh, man has ever been proscribed as a result of possessing them, or because sons and wives have never thrust poison down one's throat for that reason, or because in wartime these riches are unmolested, or because they bring leisure in time of peace, or because it is not dangerous to possess them, or troublesome to invest them. But one possesses too little if one is merely free from cold and hunger and thirst. Jupiter himself, however, is no better off. Enough is never too little, and not enough is never too much. Alexander was poor even after his conquest of Darius and the Indies. Am I wrong? He seeks something which he can really make his own, exploring unknown seas, sending new fleets over the ocean, and, so to speak, breaking down the very bars of the universe. But that which is enough for nature is not enough for man. There have been found persons who crave something more after obtaining everything. So blind are their wits, and so readily does each man forget his start after he has got underway. He who was but lately the disputed lord of an unknown corner of the world is dejected when, after reaching the limits of the globe, he must march back through a world which he has made his own. Money never made a man rich. On the contrary, it always smites men with a greater craving for itself. Do you ask the reason for this? He who possesses more begins to be able to possess still more. To sum up, you may hail forth for our inspection any of the millionaires whose names are told off when one speaks of Crassus and Licinus. Let him bring along his rating and his present property and his future expectations, and let him add them all together. Such a man, according to my belief, is poor. According to yours, he may be poor some day. He, however, who has arranged his affairs according to nature's demands, is free from the fear, as well as from the sensation, of poverty. And, in order that you may know how hard it is to narrow one's interests down to the limits of nature, even this very person of whom we speak, and whom you call poor, possesses something actually superfluous. Wealth, however, blinds and attracts the mob when they see a large bulk of ready money brought out of a man's house, or even his walls crusted with abundance of gold, or a retinue that is chosen for beauty of physique, or for attractiveness of attire. The prosperity of all these men looks to public opinion. But the ideal man, whom we have snatched from the control of the people and of fortune, is happy inwardly. For as far as those persons are concerned, in whose minds bustling poverty has wrongly stolen the title of riches, these individuals have riches, just as we say that we have a fever, when really the fever has us. Conversely, we are accustomed to say, a fever grips him. And, in the same way, we should say, riches grip him. There is therefore no advice, and of such advice no one can have too much, which I would rather give you than this, that you should measure all things by the demands of nature, for these demands can be satisfied either without cost or else very cheaply. Only do not mix any vices with these demands. Why need you ask how your food should be served, on what sort of table, with what sort of silver, with what well-matched and smooth-faced young servants? Nature demands nothing except mere food. Dost seek, when thirst inflames thy throat, a cup of gold? Dost scorn all else but peacock's flesh or turbot when the hunger comes upon thee? Hunger is not ambitious. It is quite satisfied to come to an end. Nor does it care very much what food brings it to an end. Those things are but the instruments of a luxury which is not happiness, a luxury which seeks how it may prolong hunger even after repletion, how to stuff the stomach, not to fill it, and how to rouse a thirst that has been satisfied with the first drink. Horace's words are therefore most excellent when he says that it makes no difference to one's thirst in what costly goblet or with what elaborate state the water is served. For if you believe it to be of importance how curly-haired your slave is, or how transparent is the cup which he offers you, you are not thirsty. Among other things, nature has bestowed upon us this special boon. She relieves sheer necessity of squeamishness. The superfluous things admit of choice. We say, that is not suitable,